Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. And remember, last time, everybody, we were talking about the novel 1984. We summarized that novel for you in our last program. Today, we're going to talk about the author himself, George Orwell. He's from England. Or at least he was. He's dead now. And that's the subject of today's program as we continue to talk about Orwell's ominous warnings.
Yeah, in today's program, we're going to be talking about his background, how he got into writing in the first place. He didn't start out as a writer. He started his career, you could say, as a policeman, which is kind of interesting. I don't think we've had any authors that we've talked about on this program that have started out as policemen. So it's kind of cool. But he did grow up in England. He went to a boarding school. We can talk about what that's like and how certain global events really influenced him quite strongly and changed the way he felt about governments and how people should be governed. It's kind of interesting. And that's where he got his material for his two big books, 1984. And the other one that many of you have probably heard of is Animal Farm.
Indeed. So that's kind of a similar theme as well.
Uh-huh.
And he's also been known as an essayist, writing essays about politics and stuff like that. And I'm sure his stuff is readily available on the internet if you're interested in reading his insightful commentary about world events. Well, let's do it today. Let's talk about George Orwell. Let's get to it. So let's read the entire content of our lesson right now.
The author of 1984, George Orwell, was born in 1903. Despite attending prestigious boarding schools in England, he was dissatisfied with the education system. Orwell felt that school administrators tried to control every aspect of students' lives, like dictators. After graduating from high school, Orwell decided to skip college and accepted a job as a British imperial policeman in Burma instead. Orwell quickly tired of this position, as he detested enforcing strict laws laid down by a political system he felt was corrupt. After returning to England, he resigned from the police and decided to become a writer. Much of Orwell's work revolved around his dissatisfaction with society and politics. To better understand his subjects, Orwell wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. Orwell purchased second-hand clothes from a thrift shop and began living on the streets of London to learn more about the conditions impoverished Europeans faced. He would draw on these experiences when writing his novel, Down and Out in Paris and London. Later, while living with oppressed miners in northern England, Orwell converted to socialism after losing his faith in the capitalist system. Yet it was his time in Spain that probably changed Orwell the most. While covering the Spanish Civil War, he witnessed many horrible crimes being committed by the fascist government against its own people. This influenced him to write his classic works, Animal Farm and 1984, which alerted readers to the perils of governments run by an elite few.
Okay, let's talk about the author of 1984, a man by the name of George Orwell. He was born way back in 1903, which wasn't that long ago if you think about it. But if he were alive today, he'd be, oh gee, about 110 years old or so. So no wonder he's been dead for some time. And despite attending prestigious boarding schools in England, he was dissatisfied with the education system. Despite here means even though he attended these great boarding schools, he was still dissatisfied with the system of education there. You'd think that, hey, I get to go to this prestigious boarding school. It's really great. When I graduate, I can go to Oxford, and then I can get a great job and live a really comfortable life. I can be a British intellectual, and people will love me so much. But he went to this boarding school, and he didn't think it was that great. Now, if something's prestigious, when it is very famous and lots of people want to go there, we think of this as things that rich people want to have or influential people want to have. Like you can be very prestigious if you're the owner of a company and you drive expensive cars. Or Oxford is a prestigious university. Harvard is too. And this boarding school Well, a boarding school is a school where the students actually live on campus, and they probably wear uniforms, and only very rich people get to go there or very smart people get to go there.
It does cost quite a bit. We have boarding schools in Taiwan, too. But a lot of times the kids will go home on the weekend after being in boarding school during the week.
But in any case, this is a prestigious boarding school, and he went there, but he was still dissatisfied. Dissatisfied is the opposite of satisfied. You're not satisfied at all. You're not happy with things. He did not like the education system, even though he knew he was getting an excellent education and his future was very certain. He still did not like the system of education there.
So what was wrong? Well, he thought that the school administrators, the people who were managing the school, who were supervising the students, were trying to control every aspect of students' lives. Like dictators, that's what he compared them to. An administrator is a person who administers something. Usually it's a person whose job is to manage something like a company or a school or some other organization. They're usually busy doing a lot of paperwork, I would think. But if you have a boarding school, you're sort of taking the place of their parents for a while because they're not with their families. They're living at that school. So he just felt like they tried to control them way too much. Now, a dictator is a person who rules a country with total control, and they're usually often quite cruel or brutal. So there's really no freedom in a kind of country that has a dictator.
Indeed. So I could think of Fidel Castro in Cuba. I guess he could be considered a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler was a dictator, and Mussolini in Italy, they were all dictators, people who just had absolute power. And after graduating from high school, Orwell decided to skip college and accepted a job as a British imperial policeman in Burma instead. Some people call this country Myanmar. It depends on which country you're talking about.
But we're used to calling it Burma, but it was officially changed by the people controlling the country.
I like the sound of Burma better. It has more dignity. But in any case here, he did not want to go to university, I guess because he did not like the education system in universities. He said, nope, I'm going to take this job as a policeman. It's the British Imperial Police Force in Burma. Imperial means having to do with the crown, with the royal family. Lots of things, of course, are labeled that, like Royal Mail in England. It's all kind of named after the royal family.
And these British Imperial policemen would often work abroad in other countries, which Great Britain controlled at the time. And Burma was one of them. So that's where he went. It was almost like he got to work abroad in his first job, what would be kind of cool. But he actually didn't enjoy his position there. It says here he quickly tired of this position. He got tired of it because he detested enforcing strict laws that were laid down by the political system there. And he thought their system was corrupt. He thought that leaders were doing illegal or dishonest things in order to keep their power or make more money. Now, if you detest something, you hate it, dislike it very strongly.
Exactly. I detest Cho Dofu, as I've said before.
Really?
Actually, no, I don't particularly care for it.
Okay.
I don't really hate it, but I don't really like it either. If I had the choice, I would not eat it. If somebody offered it to me, I would eat it to be polite, but I don't really care for it. But I'm just using hate or detest as an example sentence. I guess I could say I hate pizza or I detest pizza. Actually, you don't like pizza, do you?
It's okay.
Yeah, I guess you feel the same way about pizza as I do about Cho tofu, stinky tofu. But in any case, he detested this job, I guess because the British were controlling Burma and they probably ruled it with an iron fist and they told the people there they had to do these things. And Orwell thought, that's not fair. You know, you shouldn't be treating these people like that. They need to have their own power to make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he sort of detested this position. He hated it. He resented it. He did not want to work for this corrupt political system.
Now, here we're using the verb phrase lay down. Here we're actually using the past tense version, laid down. But to lay down here means you clearly state some sort of rule or standard or guideline, some law that people have to follow. For example, a lot of companies will lay down very strict safety standards to protect their employees. Well, he didn't like enforcing these strict laws that were laid down by the political system. He thought they weren't fair. Well, after returning to England, he then resigned from the police, which means he says, I quit. I don't want to work here anymore. And that's when he decided to become a writer.
Indeed, and we'll talk about his writing career in just a second. It's time now to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher. Please listen carefully.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要来看的是 George Orwell, 也就是1984小说的作者，他为什么要写这本小说，以及他成长的背景。他是1903年出生。第一段的第二个句子提到 ,Despite attending prestigious boarding schools in England, he was dissatisfied with the education system. 其实呢他读过几间非常有名的寄宿学校，在这里用 prestigious 表示是名望声望极高的意思。尽管如此，他对于教育系统还是相当的不满的。形容词 dissatisfied 解释成为不满的。She was dissatisfied with her salary. 她对她的薪水不满意。A dissatisfied expression 表示不满的表情。这时候呢 Orwell felt that school administrators tried to control every aspect of students' lives like dictators. 在学校的时候他就感受到学校的这些行政人员 administrators 想要控制学生生活的每一个面向 every aspect of students' lives, 而这样的行为就好像 dictators, 也就是独裁者一样。Dictator 像是 a military dictator, 指的就是军人独裁者，而独裁统治或者是独裁政府就叫做 dictatorship。所以毕业之后呢，他就不读大学了，而是开始找工作。在第一段的稍微后面的句子提到 Orwell quickly tired of this position as he detested enforcing strict laws laid down by a political system he felt was corrupt. 在这里虽然找到了工作，可是呢他不久之后就感到厌烦，因为他 detest, 在这里的 detest 当作动词解释成为厌恶、憎恶，他非常讨厌就是去用一些严格的法令呢执行在人民的身上，而偏偏这样子的 political system 是他认为相当的腐败的。在这里的 strict laws 后面有一个过去分词片语 laid down， 原形动词 to lay down a law 表示去规定正式的做出一些声明某个条款的意思。举个例子来说，The EU has laid down tough standards for water quality, 指的就是欧盟规定了严格的水质标准。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's talk about the novels and the writings of George Orwell. Now, much of Orwell's work, his writing work or written work, revolved around his dissatisfaction with society and politics. Now, in this sentence, we have the verb revolve, and it's used with the preposition around, to revolve around something. That means something literally goes around something, to revolve around the center, for example. But here, to revolve around means that's what these things were about. His writing was about these things. That was the main theme, his dissatisfaction with society and his dissatisfaction with politics. All these writings had something to do with those things.
Right. Well, to better understand his subjects and the people he was writing about, he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. If you use that phrase, not afraid to get your hands dirty, it means you'll do what it takes to get the job done. In this case, he really is going to get kind of dirty because he's going to go live on the streets of London.
Oh, no.
First, he wanted to dress up like he actually belonged on the streets.
Like a bum.
Like a bum, yeah, someone who didn't have a lot of money. So he went to a thrift shop. A thrift shop or a thrift store sells very inexpensive things. They're usually secondhand, meaning somebody else has worn them before and then given them away. So you can buy some really cheap things at thrift shops. First he did that. He got himself all dressed up like a bum. And then he began living on the streets of London. Now, why did he do that, Tom?
Yeah, why would somebody want to do that on purpose?
Well, I know.
He did this to learn more about the conditions impoverished Europeans faced. He's talking specifically about people who are poor in England and also in Paris. I guess he did this in France as well. He wanted to be close to these poor people to kind of learn about them, to learn about their conditions, how they felt about things, why they were in this position. And maybe later he thought if he knew these things, he could actually figure out a way to help them and eliminate poverty and make everybody more equal in society. So if you're impoverished, that means you are very, very poor. Poverty is the state of being very, very poor. So if you're impoverished, basically that just means you're very poor. You don't have much money at all, and you probably don't have a home.
Well, he would then draw on these experiences that he gained while he was living on the streets to use in his novel. Writers need material. They need to know more about what they're writing about, right? So he used those experiences and then constructed his novel from those experiences on the street. Now, if you draw on something, it means you use information that you gain or experiences to do something with it. You use that to make something else. And here we're saying he used those experiences to put into his novel.
Yes, he drew on these experiences. He drew from these experiences, you could also say, and he used these experiences to write his novel, Down and Out, in Paris and London. If you're down and out, you're down on your luck, bad things are happening to you. And later, while living with oppressed miners in northern England, Orwell converted to socialism after losing his faith in the capitalist system. So he later lived with some poor people up in northern England there, getting up there kind of towards Scotland there. And he was with miners. Miners here are people who work in mines. Underground, they bring out minerals and coal and stuff like that for other people to use. Understandably, mining work is very tiring. You can get very dirty. You can get sick doing it. And I'm sure these miners probably were required to work 14 or 15 hours a day. They weren't paid very much. They were treated very badly, so that's why we're saying they were oppressed.
Yeah. Well, after seeing this, he converted to socialism. If you convert to something, it means you change your beliefs in some way. You could convert to a religion. You could also convert to a new way of belief about a system of government. Well, he converted to socialism. Socialism is a government method where society is organized by having most of the major industries owned by the government instead of owned by individual people or companies. So the government owns and controls those major industries. And he thought, well, this could be a little bit more fair. And he began losing his faith in the capitalist system where people are allowed to own their own property and their own companies. So individuals have power rather than just the government. So he changed the way he felt because he saw these poor miners not being paid enough. And he thought, maybe if the government owned the mines, they would be paid better.
Both systems sound pretty terrible to me. Either way, you're going to be controlled by somebody.
Someone's controlling somebody.
Socialism, you're going to be controlled by the government. And capitalism, you'll be controlled by rich business people. So I guess we don't really have much to look forward to, do we? But in any case here, he decided that socialism was the hope of mankind. So he converted to socialism. And, of course, capitalism is the system that's pretty much practiced here in Taiwan. Free enterprise. Let business do its own thing, and, you know, people will take care of each other. If you're optimistic, you might feel that way. But he did not have faith in the capitalist system. He thought it was all about oppressing people and taking advantage of people. And I guess you can't blame him for that. Yet it was his time in Spain that probably changed Orwell the most. So he also went to Spain, which of course is in, southwest Europe there. Madrid is the capital, mm-hmm. and they were having some problems back in the 20th century as well.
They were. What he did was he covered the Spanish Civil War. To say someone covers something, it means they're working as a reporter. So they're reporting the news. He's covering the Spanish Civil War for some papers to tell people abroad what's really happening. And as he was watching what was happening, he witnessed many horrible crimes being committed by the government against its own people. Wow, it sounds like the drones that we have in America now.
Oh, no.
Who can bomb Americans. Well, that's bad. Well, if you commit something, this is a verb we use to say something is being done that's illegal or harmful. Let me give you some examples. You can commit murder. You can commit suicide by killing yourself. You can commit adultery by having an affair if you're married. Those are all bad things. So we often will use that verb commit to mean you do those things. Now, a fascist government is a way of organizing a society where the government is ruled by a dictator. Remember we talked about a dictator, how he controls everything. He controls the lives of all the people. And you are not allowed to ever disagree with a government or they will kill you.
You'll be in big trouble. They'll throw you in jail, send you to a work camp, maybe cut off your head or something like that. So, yes, indeed, at the time, Spain was ruled by a fascist government, a dictatorship, and he saw all these atrocities, these crimes, these terrible things being committed by the government. And again, as you said, to commit means to do something. In this case, to commit atrocities, to commit crimes. People were executing other people. They were torturing them. He thought that was totally unnecessary. Why are they doing this?
Yeah.
He thought that was a terrible thing. And so he was convinced that capitalism and fascism was just terrible. And this influenced him to write his classic works, Animal Farm and 1984, which we talked about last time. So yes, he was influenced by the events in Spain. He was influenced by the oppressed miners in Northern England. He was influenced by the impoverished people he met on the streets of London and Paris.
Well, let's talk about what these books kind of contain, generally speaking. We're going to go into detail in our next program. But here it says these books alerted readers to the perils of governments run by the elite few. Alert means you give somebody some important information. A very close verb would be warn. The books warn people. Peril is a possibility that you could be hurt or killed or something bad's going to happen. The dangers, you could say, the dangers of government. And the elite. Elite means a group of people who have the most wealth and status in a society. They're usually the group of people in your country that are most successful or powerful.
Exactly. So to alert somebody means to let them know about it, especially if it's a dangerous thing or dangerous situation and you're in peril when you're in trouble or in danger. Help me! I'm in peril! I'm in a perilous situation. I need my knight in shining armor to come to my rescue. But here, these are the perils of governments run by an elite few, a small group of people, of dictators or a single party and things like that. And again, that's an elite few, people who have special privileges and other people have to suffer while they live high on the hog. Well, that brings us to the end of our explanation, everybody. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher. I would like you to pay close attention.
在第二段的第一句提到, much of Orwell's work revolved around his dissatisfaction with society and politics. 在这一句里面就说明了他其实最主要的都是围绕着他对社会跟政治的不满。 To revolve around 指的就是以什么为重要的内容或者是当作是一种目的。后面举例来说, Orwell purchased second-hand clothes from a thrift shop and began living on the streets of London to learn more about the conditions impoverished Europeans faced. 为了要体验当时的社会状况，他自己买二手衣，住在伦敦街头，希望能够更了解这些贫穷的欧洲人。Impoverished 指的就是贫困的或者是赤贫的意思。而到后面还写到 Later, while living with oppressed minors in northern England, Orwell converted to socialism after losing his faith in the capitalist system. 而后来到北部跟一些矿工一同生活，这时他就对资本主义的体系失去了信心，转为信奉社会主义。在这里的 capitalist system 指的就是资本主义的体系。Socialism, 社会主义，有一个重要的动词叫做 convert, 其实就是有转变、转换的意思。像我们现在看到很多的农夫呢，是 convert to organic production methods, 指的就是改用一些有机生产的方法。最后一段呢，还提到他在西班牙的期间所做的一些心态上面的改变。最后一句提到 This influenced him to write his classic works Animal Farm and 1984, which alerted readers to the perils of governments run by an elite few. 其实他这两个作品，不管是动物农庄或者是1984呢，都是希望能够提醒读者，在这里我们用了 alert 这个动词，是有让某人警觉，而如果说 alert somebody to something, 就是让某人提醒他某件事情，提醒读者什么呢？ To the perils of governments. 注意政府所会带来的一些危险，而这样的政府是 run by an elite few. 如果这个政府是由少数精英所执政的政府，要注意它是有可能带来危险的。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We're out of time. We have one more program to talk about George Orwell.We're going to focus more kind of on the meaning of what he was trying to portray in his books. What did he want to convey or to express to people about his beliefs? We're going to talk about that, come back for that program, and we'll all enjoy learning a little bit more English.
Thanks for joining us, and please join us again next time for English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.